The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. It's open phones this morning, 8 minutes after 7. Matt's in Grants Pass. Hello, Matt. How are you this morning? What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, Bill. I just wanted to address a couple things. That was a great conversation.
About the online bookseller, the online digital books, and the censorship over in the tech bro world.
You know, it's funny. I was actually going to call you like a week ago. I just didn't get a chance to ask you if you'd noticed how many commercials are running now for people, publishing companies looking for people who have written books, and then they want to help them get those books published and get them out there.
Yes, I've noticed that too. Yeah, they say, hey, and most people have figured that they have a life that is worth writing about. No, that's not true. But, you know, we'll let them have their delusion. I don't know.
Well, the first thing that occurred to me was, you know, way back in the day, Netflix, you ordered a DVD and it showed up at your house, or maybe several of them, but then you'd watch them and then you'd ship them back, and then it turned into what it is. And then they turned into a content creator, because everything online is about content. And that's where the competition is. When you already have a marketing structure, which is basically what these publishers are, what they're saying is, we have a structure, we have a system to plug in anything that we think is purchasable and marketable, and we want to get those out there. But they don't want to create their own content, so they put it out there, and they probably get a ton of submissions from people, and then they, you know, figure out which ones they can market and try to sell. I don't know how the pricing works. I didn't call. The other thing I wanted to mention, do you remember a website called, it was an organization called Conservative Treehouse?
Yes, I do remember Conservative Treehouse. Is it gone now? I haven't looked lately.
Well, I didn't want to talk about their company per se, but they used to do all their marketing through MailChimp.
MailChimp killed them, right?
That's right. MailChimp basically told them, you got 2 weeks to get your stuff off our servers. And where they got hosed is they had their customer data, their email addresses, the people they were marketing to, and current people who are, I don't know if you call them subscribers, I would. And they basically were going to lock down all of their subscribers because they didn't have a backup. They were basically putting their own customer database with MailChimp. And you mentioned Amazon Web Services. I used to have my website on Amazon Web Services. As soon as they started kicking people out and locking them out, I bailed. And I went to somebody else because, and I'll tell you, my concern is even greater than that. You know, we used to sort of control the internet. What's it called? UCAN or whatnot? Is that what it is?
I can.
And who's to say if the globalists do get a hold of everything that George Soros's offspring doesn't just, you know, shut the internet down? So you can have a website and you could have your own servers providing downloads and all sorts of other things. But if they just shut off the internet to your databases, your computers, you're still hosed. So in a way, you make a great point here, because you're saying when I buy a copy of a book, it's my book. I have it now. If I want a map book, something with roadmaps across America, so just in case I don't have GPS, I can open up my almanac, my map book, and I can get wherever I need to go, even if it was on horseback.
Right.
And I think people have become too dependent. I said this about the Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment now is irrelevant. And the reason I say that is that everybody has their whole life on Google or Microsoft or other things. All anybody has to do to get a warrant is go to them and say, hey, I want to look at all Bill's stuff.
Yeah.
And they're just going to let him look. So you really, people have given up their Fourth Amendment rights. As soon as they upload anything to a cloud or they store anything with any of these big companies, you know, nothing, you have to have it in your hand, like you said. There's just no other way around it. So I would say that people are going to have to do more self-publishing if they have materials that they want to market.
And I know that some of the more controversial books are even done that way, in which you you get onto the website and then you print out a copy. It'll print out, you know, that's the self-publishing world right now, in which it'll print a copy and then send it to you, that kind of thing.
Yeah, my situation was a little different. When I went to publish my book, I already had a list of people who know me. And so what I did is I pre-sold and then I had the book printed.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Matt, I appreciate you weighing in on this one. This is something I've been thinking about for a long, long time. It's like if you don't have it, if you don't own it, if you don't have it in your hands or in your physical possession. I mean, you know, it's even, you know, when I talk about physical gold, you know, I know not everybody's into physical gold, but I've noticed that all the national places, you know what the national places are all doing? They're saying, well, you know, we will store the gold for you, right? You know?
Bill, you're not the only person. I know a ton of people who have gold being held, in quotes, at one of these companies. I ask them, I say, well, what was your point for buying the gold? And they say, well, in case of an emergency. I said, what makes you think you're going to get your gold in case of an emergency?
In the case of an emergency, it's exactly what I'm getting at. You know, anyway, but you see, you know, so many of us, we grew up when the world was, and even the United States especially, was a high-trust society. Well, that has been severely tested these last few years. Would you agree with me on that? Okay.
Honestly, if you're buying gold because you want something in an emergency, having it stored at some company is as ridiculous as buying those food kits, you know, $1,000 worth of food for the last 25 years, and letting some company hold your food. Okay, that, you know what, hits the fan, and all of a sudden you're calling.
Yeah, and your food is gone. Hey, I need my food. And they're saying, no, I'm sorry, the government seized it, all right? Thanks. I really appreciate the call, Matt. Let me go to Jay. Jay, you are the way in. You've been holding on here patiently on the fire map. Go right ahead. Let's hear your take on it.
Yeah, thanks, Bill, for diving into the fire map issue.
You bet, Jay. So what are you thinking?
I live in the city limits of Grants Pass, but I live on the edge of Grants Pass, and I got one of those certified letters that says, you know, that says I'm in the high risk area. I was a little surprised by that because I'm in the city limits. You know, I figured having city fire would be one of those factors that might limit the risk for city properties. But looking deeper into the map, there's looks like there's quite a few properties within the city limits that have been designated high risk. So I've been I know just enough to be dangerous on this. I'm in the, you know, the very early stages of researching.
Yeah, I think we're all getting at that, you know, kind of at that point. Just dangerous enough to be frustrated, but angry. You know.
Yeah, exactly. It's a pretty frustrating issue, and I've been very disappointed about lots of things the Josephine County Commissioners have done in the last 2 years. But the one good thing that they did was dive into this fire map issue and get together with other commissioners and fight this thing. And so I think that needs to probably continue and happen again.
I think that that's probably going to be one of the most powerful methods of fighting the unification of counties against this, because it is obviously flawed. I don't think that its stated purpose is really what it's going to do. And counties, of course, also have attorneys, and I think that's going to be a very important part of fighting this, having good attorneys. But the attorneys also need to understand all of those ORSs, and that might be the challenge going on there, that there's more power for the counties to resist this than we might think, Jay. That's kind of my feeling on this situation.
Absolutely. We definitely need to all band together to fight this. But thinking about this legally and just in brainstorming mode here, usually the way land use codes and laws work in Oregon, usually there's a state, you know, overall structure, like the, you know, like the structure Senate Bill 100 laid out. And then there's usually, or in many cases, municipalities, cities, counties can customize those rules at some level, you know, under the overarching state structures. But I have never seen. So there's a couple of things. There's what you have to follow when you're building something new. Then there's what you have to follow to maintain your property. I have never seen. I've never seen a law, or it's pretty rare that new land use, you know, laws come back and after your property has been developed, come back and force you to drastically change how your property is developed. Usually you're grandfathered in at some level when it comes to certain things like this.
But this appears to have really no grandfathering at all. None that I can detect. Can you concur with that or not? I don't know.
Yeah, that's certainly what it seems to be. I was really surprised by some of the language of the letter that said, you know, you might be forced to do X, Y, and Z because you're in high risk. And I was thinking, wow, that's going to be potentially thousands of dollars. But my property, I think my neighborhood, it probably is high risk, but my particular property, I've hardened my property. Or I haven't, but you know, the previous owners of my property did. And I think that if they came out and assessed my individual property, they would probably deem it low risk. But you know, so I think there's really a potential for class action lawsuits. And I think that this thing is going to be fought legally. And it's so costly and crazy that I think it goes away. But some, at one point in the last, I've been watching city and county meetings here in Grants Pass and Justin County for many, many years. And one thing that that the city of Grants Pass did, and I think this was sometime in the last 5 years, is there are certain codes that certain state laws related to when you can, you know, run lawnmowers and certain power tools and equipment.
Yeah, keeping the possibility of a spark potential and touching stuff off. Yeah,
exactly. And those are reasonable rules. But what I found interesting was some point in the last 5 years, the city of Grants Pass changed its rules so that it mirrored the state rules on that topic. So I was always under the assumption that we always had to follow the state rules on those things related to fire. And it turns out here in Grants Pass, we were not following the state rules, but we made a code change several years ago
to harmonize it.
Mirror.
Yeah.
So if we're allowed to not follow the state rules in that case, why do we have to follow this new crazy state law in this case? So that's just
I think the purpose
ideas.
Yeah, I honestly think, Jay, the purpose of Senate Bill 762, and Herman Bertschiger had mentioned to me, and this makes more sense than anything, it's about getting the firefighting budget out of the general fund and throwing the firefighting budget onto rural landowners under the guise of, well, you know, the federal lands are going to burn around you. They're going to catch you on fire. So, you know, you're living around it. Sucks to be you. So you better pay up. You know, I think that's kind of what they're trying to do, where this is ultimately. And that's the drive of it. And so the only people that will be able to afford it are probably going to be the wealthy. I appreciate your call. Thank you for that, Jay. Let me go to James. Hello, James. I know everyone's been holding on. I'll try to get to everybody's call here in just a minute or two. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
This is James.
Yeah, James.
Two-minute history of where this started. And number one, it's the Wildlands Project, where they want to get everybody out of. They don't like people. They don't like families.
Yeah, and it does seem to sign a kind of rhyme with what they're looking at. If you look at the Wildlands Project, in which you're not living in Selma. You're going to have to go live in Grants Pass. Well, actually, Cave Junction's probably too large of a city for the Wildlands Project.
Number two, the monument. They wanted a monument from the California border to Coos Bay, and they the end of Obama's administration, they tried to get that through. They couldn't get it through. We protested it.
Mm-hmm.
So only about 30 people showed up at the end of the Selma post office. And then the third thing is people don't, the environmentalists don't realize that the rent's going to go up, and the homeless, they're not going to be able to build houses anywhere here, and we're all going to live in the 15-minute cities. And the enviros are being useful idiots. They care about.
Well, you know, the thing is, though, even the enviros will be treated like the other useful idiots have in past communist revolutions.
You helped us,
comrade, have great revolution. Fine, line up against wall for bullet. You know, that's kind of the way the Soviets dealt with it. Okay, thank you, James. Let me go to last line here. Hi, before break. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Bill. It's Francine.
Hi, Francine.
Well, okay. So I have some thoughts about you know, you're talking about having your books and things like that on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I suggest that any documents that people want to hang on to and keep and not be have them scrutinized or possibly pulled or whatever, keep them on a little drive. Buy yourself a couple of those little 1 terabyte drives and stash all your stuff on there.
And have it in multiple places, though. Have multiple copies of it, not just one.
You have that.
Did you hear about that guy that, and this kind of reminds me of, there was a guy over in England I was reading about the other day, that lost $750 million in Bitcoin because he had it on one hard drive and then he tossed it in the trash. And he was trying to get this permission to go dig up the town dump and they wouldn't let him, right?
Oh, there's been a lot of stories about the Bitcoin, people getting rid of their computer and losing their Bitcoin. I remember when it first came out, there was stuff like that. But what my point, Bill, is that not only do you have a place, you know, you can have multiple or whatever, not only do you have a place to keep those things, but you can enjoy them without having to go online.
That's also very important, yes.
Which is right, yeah, because nobody else can look at it. And there's another thing I wanted to share. And there's a website that apparently a lot of people don't know about it. It's called archive.org.
Ah, I'm a member of archive.org, by the way.
Right on, right on. Yeah, they're awesome. You can find almost anything that's, you know, things that you can't get anywhere else, books, whole books and things, and you can download them.
Yes, archive.org. I became a member of it. I sent them a donation, too. In fact, one of my colleagues within Bicoastal Media is actually one of the archivists who...
really?
Yeah, one of the engineering people. He works in the archiving section of finding more of this information. It's essentially the... Well, it's the Internet Archive is what it is.
Yeah.
And it is amazing, the stuff that...
Is.
And you know, it's also another fascinating thing about that. If you have older computers and you're looking for an older version of software... that is no longer sold or available out there. Oftentimes, you'll find it over on archive.org. It's amazing what you can find there.
They are amazing, and I encourage people to go take a look and possibly, you know, give them donations and whatever, because they are lifesavers.
Yeah, indeed. Hey, appreciate the call and the suggestion here, Francine. 724 at KMED. And happy to take a few more of your calls here. It's Open Phones on Conspiracy Theory Thursday.
Here at American Rancher Garage, we respect and support those individuals who currently or have previously served this great country and our local communities. As a small token of our respect and appreciation for their service, we extend our Heroes discount to all active or veteran military personnel and to our active or retired first responders. There is no way to completely repay your dedication to the protection of our country and communities, but we will do what we can.
If your garage or overhead shop door needs service or repair, please consider American Industrial Door. They have experienced and professional technicians with a fleet of trucks that can repair and service any door or opener. And if you need advice or just have a question about your door, just give them a call or stop by either showroom. They've been your garage door experts in Southern Oregon for nearly 40 years. American Industrial Door on Crater Lake Avenue, north of Vilas Road, and on Union Avenue in Grants Pass.
The Best of Southern Oregon magazine, presented by Dusty's Transmissions, is online. To find out who won gold and silver medals in over 200 categories, visit the website and flip through the magazine online. You can also sort by category and learn about Southern Oregon's best, such as Oregon Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, Southridge Builders, Drake's Paint and Supply, and Sherm's Food for Less. Congratulations to all the award winners from Bicoastal Media, publishers of the Best of Southern Oregon magazine. Visit bestofsouthernoregon.com today.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Adam Schiff is a congenital liar. He has no business being in the U.S. Senate, but of course, the people of California. That's why with everything that's going on out there and all of this that could have been prevented, had they practiced basic common sense, you know, the science of forestry and removing brush, the kindling for fires, and having controlled burns and doing the things that you would normally do to prevent forest fires, you know, it's just sad. But I bet that Gavin Newsom, if he ran tomorrow, would probably win. And if Kamala runs in 2 years, she'll probably win. And the congenital liar won because the people of California don't even seem to care.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hello, everyone. It's your favorite president, Donald J. Trump, here to introduce something really special. You're going to love it. My new Trump watches. It's one of the best watches made. Wear it proudly on your wrist, and everyone will know what it's for, who it represents. Get your Trump watch right now. Go to gettrumpwatches.com. It's Trump time.
Celebrate the inauguration of President Trump with his new amazing watches. A true collector's item. Very limited. They will sell out. Go to GetTrumpWatches.com now to get your Trump watch before they're gone. It's an easy URL to remember. GetTrumpWatches.com. Don't miss your chance to own a valuable piece of history. Go now to GetTrumpWatches.com and get your watch today. See GetTrumpWatches.com for details. Celebrate President Trump's return with these limited edition beautiful new Trump watches. Hurry, go now to GetTrumpWatches.com.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Hopefully awake, but not woke. That's what we always like to say here, because as Tom and Talon says, wokeism kills. Right, Tom? Welcome back.
You, I'm glad that got through. Yeah, I was just reading an article, LouRockwell.com.
Great site, by the way. It's something I tend to check out at least once a day, if not more.
Yeah. Well, this one's about the L.A. fires. It's the second item down. But the writer's claiming that the fire marshal gets over $800,000 a year salary.
Wow.
The person in charge.
Oh, you forgot CalPERS, too. So that person will probably make close to $800,000 a year after he or she quits, too.
He talked about that, too. The person head of Waterworks, $700,000 a year of salary. And then, of course, and he mentioned all the gravy train retirement when people quit, like you were just mentioned, and so forth. So all that money, these bloated salaries, are going to that instead of the infrastructure and so forth. And people are being taxed out of their mines and houses and so forth. I mean, my concern is that there's no bad law down in California that Oregon doesn't want to duplicate up here.
Yeah, we tend to want to style ourselves, at least in the legislature, as California Junior, there's even talk about getting rid of the quorum rules, you know, that we have right now. So that way there is no resistance whatsoever, you know, to where they want to take it.
Yeah, I say I'm very concerned about having the supermajority up there. Mm-hmm. You might call it the supermajority for insanity. You're dealing with the fire map and everything. You just don't know what the bureaucratic mind is going to come up with next to screw over the people. But they seem to be doing an excellent job of it.
Now, what do you think? Do you believe, I just want to get your opinion, if you think that maybe there is enough problems, enough destruction, enough incompetence that a majority of the voting population in California or Oregon at that point could be persuaded to actually reverse course. Because, you know, I was listening to that Schiff show yesterday with Adam Schiff. You know, Adam Schiff, who moves from the House to the Senate, right? And I'm thinking, a majority of Californians voted for that turd, you know? Just can't believe it.
Huh? That's why I'm having trouble working up sympathy for a lot of Los Angeles right now, because they basically voted for everything that they're experiencing right now. I
can't
call it self meeting self, and that's what's going on down there. And again, my concern is that Oregon is just in lockstep with California, and people we're doing the same thing up here, not quite as drastically, but it's in full competition.
Well, we do our tyranny with a little, you know, we smile a little more often, and we talk about, well, you know, we're just doing things the Oregon way, you know, and
yeah,
shut up, comrade, put on your mask and take jab, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think Kate Brown should be held up for a trial. I mean, we need to find out what she knew and when she knew it, because she ruined a lot of lives here in Oregon. But she's, you know, I don't know what she's doing right now, skipping along with her retirement and just happy as a lark.
You know, I read something about, I thought that there was a position for her in the Biden administration, or maybe that didn't pan out. I don't know. This was, when she left. But I don't know. It's an interesting question. Now I'm going to have to look that up, Tom. Appreciate the call. Let me go to Ron. Hey, Ron, what's on your mind today? Huh? Go ahead.
Yeah, two points. First, I have firsthand experience with lightning strikes on a family property, and there was the bark peeled off of the tree, clear down to the ground, but there was no fire. And so I count that there is not a fire every time lightning strikes. However, if you go to the weather reports on when we have lightning events around, you'll see live indications of where lightning strikes have happened. Now, how many of those lightning strikes have created a fire, and how many of those fires are on private property?
And what I would wonder is if how many of those lightning strikes is that part of the algorithm in the fire map that they bring up. I was curious.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
and, I mean, it's kind of obtuse.
And the final thing I want to say is there's so much state and federal property. Are they also subject to clean up and to maintain, to minimize, and to eliminate needles and that kind of thing under trees?
Okay, let me think about this briefly. I'm going to get the answer for you like a grumpy cat. No. Okay? Yeah. Thanks, Ron. Point well taken, all right? I'll grab one more call. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Hello?
Hey, Bill. This is John West.
Hey, John. How are you, John? Good to have you on.
Hey. So I've got a couple of things. I don't know if you realize that the state forester just resigned. And that was, in my opinion, that whole thing is just shenanigan, because they're wanting to throw the state forester under the bus for the wildfires that happened, and the state's got to blame somebody. So,
but the state forester, I don't think really had much to do with the, the U.S. Forest Service or the BLM or the other public land managers. Did he or she?
No. But this year, or last year, they said that it cost the state of Oregon $350 million to fight wildland fires.
Mm-hmm.
And they're blaming it on the state forester because he's in charge of the state of Oregon forestry. And so so now he's resigning, and they have to blame someone for their incompetence.
Hmm.
And so,
it's kind of like how down in Los Angeles they can't talk about their incompetence, so it's climate change. That's what caused the fire. Right? That same kind of mentality then, really.
Well, yeah, and if you look at the governor's budget, you know, she's we're ranking low in housing, and she's wanting to put all this money into climate change and all this. They want to quit logging and go to carbon credit. Well, that means no forest management. No, nothing.
Well, yeah. If you're going to sell off the forest use as carbon credit sink, you're not going to harvest anything. You're just going to be a big forest. What happens when the carbon sink catches on fire, John? Huh?
Yeah. Well, no. That's exactly right. It'll not be managed. And then you take the Williams area. You know, we've had this discussion about the Pipe Fork. People that doesn't want no logging and all that out in that Williams country.
Right.
I mean, hundreds and thousands of acres of dead timber on government ground. Now, we can't keep blaming the Forest Service and the BLM for not logging. Those environmental groups out there all filed protests, filed court documents, and got those timber sales stopped from removing dead and dying trees.
I would dare say that those same voters are some of the people that helped recall you, if I understand the vote count in the Williams area. So it speaks volumes, doesn't it?
Yeah, I exactly. But to my point, Bill, is that we keep pointing our finger at the BLM and Forest Service.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying to clean up, not perfect. They're not doing a great job, but they are trying to do something. This is an example. They're trying to take thousands of acres, clean it up, remove the fuels, remove the dead and dying trees, and they get held up in court, and the court rules, no, you can't do it.
I'll bet you, well, I have no reason to doubt you on this one, John. I appreciate.
Well, no, I read the court case. Our local BLM and Forest Service put up the timber sale, and they got blocked by a judge, and it's these same people that are living in our local communities that don't want no logging. And they join these environmental groups and they fight it. And then they point the finger at them and say, well, you're not doing anything. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah. You're right about that, John, and I appreciate your call. Good hearing from you, and I look forward to hearing from you more often. Okay? 737 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. Appreciate you waking up here on Conspiracy Theory Thursday on the Bill Myers Show. Joining me here in just a moment, I think this is going to be, I mean, everybody's celebrating. Everybody's going to be celebrating next week as President Trump is coming in. And so we're going to have a good conversation with Joyce Michelangelo, who is the Jackson County Republican Party chair, Commissioner Colleen Roberts, who is the vice chair, both in studio. We'll be kicking it around and see what the future holds.
Winter weather is here, and your roof is your first line of defense. At Pressure Point Roofing, we know that small issues can quickly become big and expensive problems. That's why scheduling a roof inspection now can save you from damage, the cost, stress, and downtime of an interior repair later. Think of it like an oil change for your car. Regular maintenance that protects your investment and saves you money in the long run. Don't wait for a leak to disrupt your life. Schedule your inspection or learn about our maintenance programs at PressurePointRoofing.com today.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
News brought to you by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground. Visit MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. An air quality advisory is in effect for Southern Oregon through Friday evening. Oregon's Department of Environmental Quality issued the alert for Jackson, Josephine, Klamath, and Southern Lake counties due to air stagnation. Oregon's joining 13 other states asking the feds to uphold the Biden administration's rule expanding healthcare access to so-called dreamers. Another group of states has challenged the rule, and the incoming Trump administration is expected to stop defending the rule that went into effect last November, allowing DACA recipients to enroll in plans offered by the Affordable Care Act. Dreamers are allowed health insurance from the public exchange in Oregon, but that would change if the Biden rule is overturned. The Coquel Indian tribe didn't waste any time opening video game gambling in Medford, starting in the wake of a U.S. Department of Interior decision, paving the way for a Class 2 type casino at Roxy's Bar and Grill in Medford. Other tribes opposing the casino have filed for an injunction. Bill London, KMED.
Millett Construction thinks Don't You Forget About Me, recorded by Simple Minds for the Breakfast Club soundtrack in 1985, is a great reminder to not walk on by. If you see signs of your house's foundation cracking and crumbling, when rain keeps falling down, 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 it can cause slow change that may damage the concrete. Just call their name, Millett Construction, and they can fix the damage. It's their feeling you'll win in the end. Visit MillettConstruction.com.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your tonneau cover source. Tonneau covers are a great way to secure and protect the cargo in your bed from the elements. Styles from Truck Gear, Mack Industries, Undercover, and more. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your one-stop accessory and protection shop.
At Freddy's Diner, you may be occasionally surprised.
I guess I'll look at the menu, but I've got this thing practically memorized. Wait, what's this? An 8-ounce New York steak? Beer-battered salmon? Salmon Diablo?
Welcome to Freddy's. Are you ready to order?
I'm going to need a few more minutes.
He's got plenty of time to decide. Freddy's is open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner. Freddy's Diner on Main in Old Town Eagle Point.
Joel here at Mother Ford and Truck Center, and I'm always going to tell you what I think the best deals are right now. And what I got going on this month is discounts and leasing. Right now, I've got a 2024 Escape that Ford's offering a $4,000 customer cash rebate, and I'm discounting it $2,700 for a total savings off the original MSRP of almost $7,000. Leasing is awesome right now on both my Broncos, my F-150s. For example, I can work a lease deal on a 2024 Bronco to get your payment down to only $273 a month. A new Bronco for $273 a month. only at Butler Ford. If you're looking for a good used vehicle, I got those too. Ford Blue Certified Vehicles, any make, any model. Buy with a factory-backed Confidence of Ford warranty. Whether it's a Toyota, a Chevy, or a Ram, come see us today at Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 minutes down the freeway in Ashland off of Exit 19, where you know we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned, your EV, and of course your savings.
36-month lease with 5,000 cash or trade due and signing, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer doc fee on stock number TR59710, and selling price of $31,500 after all rebates and discounts. Escape stock number TR59789. All financing on approved credit through Ford Credit.
Hi, I'm Randy with Diner 62, and I'm on KMED
742. By the way, we'll have another Diner 62 Real American Quiz tomorrow, okay? Sometime tomorrow before we wrap up the week. And because there are people who just sit around and say, I want that Diner 62 burger. I get it. All right. Now, we have some rebuilding going on in the Jackson County Republican Party, and we got a new leadership team in here. And I wanted to make sure and give them a little bit of a love blast this morning and make sure you know what they're up to. And joining me in studio is Joyce Michelangelo, and she's the Jackson County Republican Party chair. How you doing, Joyce?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having us.
Now, are you still chair of the Jackson County Republican Women, too?
I am.
Okay. All right. Good. So both are still in effect here. And also, Commissioner Colleen Roberts, and you're the vice chair.
I am.
Okay. Very good.
I'm Joyce's support.
Joyce's support. Okay. So first thing we wanted to make sure and mention, though, is that you also have a inauguration watching party. And where is that going to be? It's going to be Monday, of course.
This coming Monday at Central Point Library. Mm-hmm. And we're starting at 8 o'clock in the morning. And we're going to watch the inauguration on the television. There's mm-hmm. a TV set up in the room at the library.
Going to have some snacks, things like that. All that sort of good stuff.
We'll have fun.
All right. Yeah. Good. Good. Glad to know that.
We hope everybody comes and joins us.
Okay.
Everybody that wants to get up that early.
Well, let's see. When does he actually take the oath? Is it 9? Like noon? Normally
at 9 Eastern? O'clock, our time, yeah. The president is sworn in.
Okay.
And the vice president is sworn in before him.
Oh, okay.
So all we right. want to be ready and yeah. see that, too.
And it's like, I can't remember. I don't know. Naturally, I guess in 2016 or 2017 is when that would have been. I don't know if I was watching that right then because I'm just doing a talk show, doing, you know, our regular stuff. So anyway, big deal. And it's not very often that you see a president that is out of office for 4 years and then coming back in. I think Grover Cleveland was the last one that did that. You know, quite some time back. So that'll be fun. Central Point Library, which is where that's going on. I wanted to touch on a couple of other things here because, like I mentioned, there's been, you know, I haven't talked much about this on the air, but there's been some drama going on behind the scenes for a while, and there are some real challenges within the Jackson County Republican group. Now, there's drama in the Josephine County group, but it's a completely different kind of kind of drama. You know, it's like in kind of fighting like cats and dogs everywhere, it seems, right. You know, these days.
Yeah.
But, you know, the old management team ended up letting go of the office. The Republican women ended up taking that over. And so what is the status of having a office or possibly moving towards reestablishing a committee office here?
We are looking for a new office. It's really important to be able to support our candidates, to have a place where people can come and find out information about the candidates. Mm-hmm. And when the candidates have signs or literature, it's a focal point to come and pick up that information. And also when we have small meetings, it's good that we have a place where we can congregate.
Yeah. And I know that even the downtown spot on Main has not always been the best neighborhood these days. Is that fair to say?
It wasn't before. And 2 or 3 years ago, it was when the windows got broken third time.
Well, yeah, it got to be about every other week. Let's say, oh, okay, the bombs had broken the windows again.
Right. You know, it was the same young man that did it. And then during COVID, he was went before a judge, and now he's paying us back.
Oh, good.
They're garnishing his wages is what it looks like. So every so often, we get a check now. So that we're grateful for that. It took $4,000 to replace those windows.
Yeah, everywhere. Yeah. So,
I want to say because of Joyce, that office was kept through the last election, through the presidential election, and she was key to that. And I just applaud her for that, because without that, there would have been no Republican office presence in Jackson County during a presidential election.
Yeah, and you can see what was going on in Joe County, which they were always doing stuff. And it would be great to see Jackson County getting a little more active. And I think this rebuilding process is going to be part of that. Mm-hmm. Lincoln Day Dinner, is that going to be back?
Lincoln Day Dinner, March 22nd. Mm-hmm. It's going to be at the Rogue Valley Country Club. And we're in the very early stages of doing the planning. So we can't give you much more information other than March the 22nd.
Okay. You need an MC? I'd be happy to volunteer if you need
one. Oh, we were going to ask you.
Okay.
So thank you.
I heard we have a good MC. Yes. And save the date.
Okay.
Everybody
right.
Save the date.
So we'll have a good time and get some good some of our good leaders, you know, down there talking. And I think it's always one of my favorite parts about it, in which, you know, you have some local elected officials or even our state officials that are able to come in and talk a little bit about what's going on. And then, of course, you got to have an auction, you know, other things like that, raise money and you know, drink a little too much wine before you bid, you know.
Yeah, I heard that helps.
And we've been very fortunate. We have people donating, different wineries that donate that wine that's on the table.
Even better. All right.
Woo-hoo!
We like that. Yeah. Yeah. Free wine. Woohoo. And then go ahead and put the bid on here. Yeah. So that's going to be good. So we're going to rebuild this, get things going again. And something I think that has been lacking for a while has been candidate training. Am I right to say about that, to even raise that issue? Is that something that is going to be a focus, or what other things are you going to be focusing on?
Well, the Oregon Republican Party has some resources to help us with candidate
Good.
Training. And so, yes, part of our focus is going to be on candidate recruitment. And then once you recruit someone, you need to train them.
Mm-hmm.
And also you can do it the other way around. You have people that don't really believe they want to run for anything, but at least you can train them a little bit and they see what a candidate is expected to do. And then that puts them in a position where they can support candidates or they themselves can run for a position.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, I've known people in the past that have run for office, and they would say things like that. Well, I'm going to run for office, but I am not going to ask for money. And I'm thinking, oh, boy. you know, you kind of have to be comfortable with that or find a way to get yourself over that. Would that be fair? You know, really, in one of the challenges? Because, you know,
I don't know if you're ever comfortable with it, but it is part of the process. It just is.
Yeah, I remember when Dennis Richardson was running for governor. Remember when he would come? I mean, the late Dennis Richardson would come out there, and he'd be first thing he would do. He's got, you know, 50 people in front of him. He's handing out envelopes every time. He says, "I hate doing this," but that was the reality. You know, the money is the mother's milk of politics, and if we're not going to raise it locally for some of our local candidates, then what ends up happening is that you have the caucuses and the caucus. The caucus lobbies, Herman and I and other people have talked about this, in which you have, you know, other interests other than maybe what conservatives
local,
and Republicans are considering about. And then they're writing the checks, and so they have to dance to different tunes. So we're trying to avoid that, I think, long term.
And right. We're hoping to raise, and we're handing out envelopes at every event as well. Our party
just like
is
Dennis.
Flat
God bless
broke.
Him.
Yeah. Right. And we are raising, we're trying, our financial situation really needs to be addressed. And we're running the fundraisers we are. In fact, even at the inauguration watch party, there's going to be some silent auction items to bid on. I said, why miss an opportunity to get donations?
Okay.
So, We're seeking every opportunity, and Joyce has thought of some great new ideas for fundraising coming up, even after the Lincoln Day Dinner, she can talk about as well. So,
all right. I want to hear about this, because you're talking about doing a golf tournament, right?
We want to do
this
a golf.
But this is a specially timed golf tournament.
This is a specially timed golf tournament. This year, President Trump's birthday is June the 14th, mm-hmm. which happens to also be Flag Day. And this year, it's on a Saturday, and we were able to get on the calendar at Eagle Point to have a Trump Classic.
Trump Classic.
Our
first annual Trump Classic.
So it's the inaugural. Inauguration.
And it happens to be the day before Father's Day.
Okay.
So fathers that like to golf can kind of have 2 days in a row if they like. They can golf on Saturday and have Father's Day things on Sunday.
Yeah, just put up little Mar-a-Lago flags everywhere
right.
you go.
right.
Everywhere you're going. And so more information on that's coming up. So
yeah.
The website is still
jcor.gop.
jcor.gop. Okay, to find out more.
So the JCOR for Jackson County, Oregon, .gop.
All right. Well, welcome. I appreciate it. It's great to have the new leadership team in here and working hard because Jackson County, we got to get back up to snuff.
Yeah.
I think it's
we do, and we have had a lot of good support from Josephine County as well. I want to give them a shout out. I know that Holly calls here regularly, and she is a wonderful person that helps me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the last 2 or 3 years, she and I work together on some things.
Okay. Well, you're all welcome anytime. Anytime you need to talk about something, all right? Great to see you.
Thanks so much. We're excited. We're very excited to see what the year unfolds for our party.
Yeah. Although all we have to do is ignore what's happening in the state legislature. That's all. Don't watch that because that will get you very depressed. I just want to warn you.
Okay? It's a downer.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Bill.
On that note, we're done.
That's why at every meeting, they're just going to rerun the Trump inauguration and not what's going on in the state legislature.
All right.
Thank you very much. Joyce Michelangelo, Jackson County Republican Party Chair, Commissioner Colleen Roberts, who's the Vice Chair. Great seeing you both. Okay. Thanks again.
Thank you.
It's 7:53 at KMED.
The 14th annual Wipeout Hunger Drive at Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass in Medford is here. Bring in 40 ounces or more of peanut butter and 10 ounces or more of jelly to either location, and we'll install new wiper blades valued up to $35. Thank you, Grocery Outlet and Sherm's Food for less. And this week, we have Midland Empire Insurance, matching donations up to $500. It was a hard year for a lot of people, but together, we can make a difference. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, but take care of you.
One of each, K4 VIN 016551, MSRP 24145, Telluride VIN 593123, MSRP 45535, $59.99 due, 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 2225.
Ready to go? You've got the green light at Kia Medford. During the Green Light Savings Event, shop our huge selection of brand new Kias, like the all-new 2025 Kia K4 LXS. Just $169 a month lease, or a new 2025 Kia Telluride EX all-wheel drive. Only $269 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Don't wait. Drive a K4, $169 a month, or Telluride, $269 a month. Save big when the green light is on at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Short and chilly days are an opportune time to work on the interior of your home. Drake's Paint and Supply, your locally owned Benjamin Moore dealer, invites you in for advice on interior painting to transform your rooms that need new paint. Choose from hundreds of paint colors and try a few samples to find the perfect color. Drake's Paint and Supply, your only locally owned paint store and Benjamin Moore retailer. In the Parkway Village in Grants Pass, on North Pacific Highway in Medford, and now in South Medford on Riverside and Central near where the two combine.
The Rogue Gardener, fertilizing your mind.
Adding some fertilizer to stimulate growth can be okay. I don't even do it anymore with trees and shrubs, but I do it with short-term crops. Vegetables, annuals. Every day that you lose with those plants without having growth type fertilizers to help them get growing, not established, because I'm not worried about the plant establishing in the hole. I want it to grow.
Talk to Stan Saturdays 10 to noon, Sunday morning encore at 9. The Rogue Gardener on KMED, sponsored by Grange Co-op.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Retail sales notched another monthly gain in December, but came in a touch below expectations. The Census Bureau said retail sales gained 0.4% in December from November, slightly below projections for a 0.5% increase, according to FactSet. Sales rose 3.9% on an annual basis. British oil major BP has announced it is planning to cut thousands of jobs as part of a major cost-cutting drive. The measures, which were designed to lower costs, come after BP CEO Murray Auchincloss said last year that the company intends to deliver at least $2 billion worth of cash savings by the end of 2026. Shares of BP traded 1.6% higher upon the news. Target raised its fourth quarter sales forecast as customer traffic across stores and its website rose and deals attracted holiday shoppers. The discounter said Black Friday and Cyber Monday saw record sales. Stocks are slightly lower. That's your money now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
The Bill Myers Show is on News Talk 106.3 KMED.
Emails of the day are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. And if you go there and you get your tooth prepped for a crown, chances are you might be able to get that while you wait. It takes about a half hour. It's really cool because they take all these computerized pictures of the of your mouth and your jawline and the x-rays, and they take it all, they combine it, and then they have an in-house lab, this milling machine, which is absolutely astounding. I was watching it one time before they gave me my crown. Yeah, I got it right out of it. Here it is. And it used to be something where you had to send it away for like a week or two. I guess the next thing that's going to be happening is there'll be 3D printing stuff. I mean, who knows where things will be going here. It's amazing stuff. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. You'll find out more about that. John writes from Shady Cove. He says, "Hey, Bill, have you ever been more embarrassed to be an American man than the other day when watching the hearings on Capitol Hill? Oh, that's right. Every time there's a conservative judge nominated for the Supreme Court, they really do need IQ tests for the political leaders at this point." John Ball, mayor of the city of Shady Cove. John, I can't disagree with you on that. The part that astounded me, and this is, and I mentioned this earlier, that you know, can California or Oregon, can we pull ourselves away from the brink here? Because Adam Schiff was given a promotion, if one can believe this, after all of the lying about Russia, and various other things. And then, of course, Pam Bondi ended up taking him on yesterday, pretty much going tit for tat on that. And it was quite a conversation. But yeah, California, a majority of Californians promoted him. Just astounding. Gar writes me this morning, "And Bill, I still don't know what the fire map was designed to do. What is its purpose?" Well, I'm sure that the claim is that to make you aware of and get people to harden their properties. I honestly think it's going to be about ultimately assessing massive taxes on wildland fires so that you can pay for the state paying to put out the fires of the federal fire lands moving over onto state-managed lands. I think that's what's going on. Granny says, "Hey, Bill, if I donate my farm to a nonprofit, will they take it out of reach, or will it be taken out of reach of these people or these commies?" Granny, I wish that they could be fooled by such a simple trick as putting your land into a nonprofit status, but nope, that is that. If it's in Oregon, that would be there. DL writes me, "Bill, I live..." Actually, I just lost it. There we go. There's DL's. "Oh, it says this message seems suspicious." Oh, stop it, Yahoo Mail. Okay. It says, "Bill, I live in Josephine County, and I have to pay $60 a year for a library card to go with my kid, which I'm okay with because we voted down the library tax. Now, I think that more than once in the past. However, I was angered to hear that the library only pays $1 a year to rent and has no responsibility for upkeep. So not only do I have to pay the $60 a year for a card, but I also have to pay for any and all of the upkeep of the building out of our property taxes, plus give them virtually free rent. Don't people see the big picture here? What am I missing?" Appreciate the email there. Jerry writes about President Biden. Jerry says, "Bill, we survived one of the most awful U.S. presidents in U.S. history. It's the best we can say about him. But now the question is, what will Biden do with the remainder of his life? Like I told a friend, if I were him, I'd start an ice cream business. I really think he'd do well. So he's a good taster, if nothing else. Butch weighs in here and says, just doing my evening internet reading, I lost my cell signal most of the day. I use a mobile hotspot, but upper rogue. Another meeting with a proposal from the OSMB, the Marine Board, to limit, quote, boating. It didn't say power boating. On days below 1,350 cubic feet per second. Not too bad. And it gave a time period that was completely outside the jet boat's operation. Also, talk of nothing more than a 10-horsepower motor, period. My suggestion via the Riverkeeper was to have the river folks approach the jet boat folks and come up with a compromise. People forget when laws are made to curtail an activity, they'll affect everyone. The gold dredges were a good example. I'm glad they're gone, but so are all the little recreational dredgers from the creeks. I appreciate all the Greg and the fire crews do, but here's what I know. My neighbor, a Rogue Valley native, was also a timber faller, and every summer he'd get called out until they started doing too much micromanaging, and he quit. He says, it's a GD dangerous job. We know it. We're careful, and we get the fires out. We're pulling punches. Butch, thank you for the email. You see if we can go to Dale. Dale says on the fire map, says, Bill, what I just heard, and I don't know how it reads, is that the map is dictating the regulation of the land. That tells me, if true, that no one's responsible for the map, and it becomes the ruling factor. No map I know of ever made a decision, so how does the wording really read? Well, we hope to talk with Senator Golden about that tomorrow morning, about that and many other things. He actually agreed to come on the show. He's also bringing a couple of, well, he's not bringing them. They're going to be on the phone, but a couple of other agency reps that are in charge of the mapping, apparently, and maybe we can find some clarity. I don't know. And it'll be polite, although there's a time I just want to go all Klingon, all Star Trek Klingon, on the entire people, everybody that is associated with this map and the passing of it. Jeff from Selma says, hey, Bill, my wife has been using ThriftBooks. ThriftBooks.com is her first line of book purchasing. Yeah, we were talking about books and digital books. I think that's used books, though. Isn't that right, Jeff? I think it's only used books. Keith says, hey, Bill, just thinking that when the power goes out next time and a book I'm reading is digital, I won't be able to read it. I think I'll stick with a real physical copy. You know, we might just talk a little bit about this coming up in just a moment. Next to me is Rob Schlaffer. He's from the Oregon Education Project, which launches this coming Tuesday. We'll talk about that because he wants to reform schools. And I mean, really reform schools. And part of me is thinking, oh, yeah. Yeah, someone else that says, I'm going to reform the unionized public school system. Maybe he can. With your help, we'll find out.
Do you take safe drinking water?